Okay. Thanks again for coming out. A long 3 days. Still is another phase of our adding players to our roster with the undrafted college free agency, and you all know the success that we've had with that. But it's been a really, really good 3 days. I don't know if I've ever felt as good about the collection of talent, but also about the collaboration that has went about with the coaches, the scouts, Dick and Steve, just everybody working together to pull this off. I think everybody should be commended for what they did. A lot of the patience that they've had to display. It's been just an awesome 3 days for me. You know, we started today with five picks in the fourth round. And Eric had put a very good plan based on the meetings last night. And the board came off basically the way we thought it would. And we were able to get some good young talent to come in here and compete to make this roster. And right now, the Baltimore Ravens are a much better football team. Now, I'm not going to try to go through name by name with all of these players. I'm just going to allow you guys to ask us questions about them. And you know, we have Bronson in the back there, and this is his first time. You know, you have to be a little bit more attentive when Coach Harbaugh has his meeting here in a couple of days, but it's good to have you. But, Eric, you want to say something?
No, not really. You know, I'm just thankful that, you know, we got the guys we wanted, and the coaches and scouts did a great job. And that's about it.
Coach, I just want to mention the great job that our scouts do. Just Ozzie, Eric, Joe, the leadership that they display. I mean, it was flying in the room. It was just the bullets were flying. It was moving fast early. It was moving fast when we had those back-to-back picks. We had trades going on. Pat was hard at work at his calculator trying to pound away the numbers. And just watching these men, the way they work in the heat of battle, under fire, it was just really something to behold. I wish everybody had a chance to see it. It was just phenomenal, the job that our staff did, and our scouting staff led by Ozzie did to operate the board the way they did.
Joe?
You know, just really excited. I think it's a great collection of players that we were able to acquire the past 3 days, and it's a result of all the hard work that everyone has done, the coaches and the scouts and everybody, and, you know, training staff, everybody that puts the time in. It's great to see it come up with these results. So I'm really, really fired up.
Isaiah, a real buzzword that was going around this draft season was playmakers, thrown around by fans and media. Like, of course, we haven't seen them on the field yet. You're confident you have a good group of playmakers on both sides of the ball?
Yes, we do. We added some speed. We added some toughness. We added some size. Athleticism, guys that have, you know, made game-changing plays on the collegiate level. So we feel real good about the collection of talent that we have. But I think we've addressed all of the particular needs that we wanted to in helping to build our football team for 2016 and beyond.
Ozzie, you've been doing the draft for a while now. Have you ever had a round quite like that fourth round today?
No. And we were trying to figure out how we could have one next year like that, but we haven't been able to figure it out yet. But no. But, I mean, the way it played out is the credit goes to Eric and Steve and the scouts and John and the coaches and the work that they've put in. To be able to have the five picks, the phones ringing, and for us to just stay focused and come up with the players.
Ozzie and Coach Ozzie, first up, do you view Keenan as a wide receiver and returner? And Coach, can you convince the Navy to let him out of his commitment, or maybe shorten it and get him on the field quicker?
The first question, yeah, he will be a guy that will play, be a receiver for us and a returner. And what a great story. You know, we were at the East-West game, and we were sitting, Eric and I, and on day two, he said, "Are you really paying attention to Keenan Reynolds?" And I said, "Yeah, You know, he's doing some things that's catching our eye. And it's just something we kept in the back of our mind. And he came here for our local pro day. And he did a good job there. But you can answer that other question.
Yeah, I'm sure they're really interested in what I think. You know, we've always been supporters of the military, you know, so I'd like to just point that out. We can't predict what they'll do. It'll be whatever's in the best interest of the Naval Academy and the Navy and the nation and things like that. But obviously there's a precedent, you know, and so we're hopeful. But whatever they do, we'll abide by and respect. We understand how that works. And it's just a fine young man. I mean, just the seeing the clips with his family on TV, I want to know who the kid is in front. Did you see the pictures? Who that kid is getting all the camera time in front? That's a big boy.
I think he's
got a future potential. But it just seems like a great family, and talking to him on the phone, it's very exciting.
Ozzie, would you categorize that maybe as an emotional pick? I mean, I know you guys probably need a wide receiver, but here's a quarterback, but he played at Navy, and, you know, I just wondered what the emotion might have been in the room when you made that selection.
Well, I mean, we saw the athlete, and I will say this, and I guess it's okay to say it, and it was Eric that made the suggestions. Normally, when we make the call, I'm the person that talks to him. But this time, we put him on speaker. So everybody in the room could be a part of telling him that we had picked him. And it was a special moment. And it was a great suggestion by Eric.
Can I ask why, Eric, that you thought that would be special?
You know, I just think we appreciate what he's done. And I don't know. He's just a special kid, you know. I wanted to experience that.
Eric, what you saw of him on tape, I don't know if you saw him in person play for Navy, but the fact that he ran the ball a lot, and he showed pretty good maneuverability in tight spaces, does that translate well to what a punt returner has to do?
Yeah, that's what we think. You know, we saw him, as Ozzie said, at the East-West in the practices. His shifty ability, stop and start, his speed and acceleration and burst. And then when he came here, we had him catch punts. And we feel, you know, really, really good about that. He's been working with Brian Mitchell on catching punts. And fortunately, we have a great relationship with Brian Mitchell. And this morning I hunted Coach down early this morning, and we called Brian and just got a report on that as well. So we did our homework on him. He's a guy that, you know, was a player of interest to us throughout the process. We kept it very quiet, and it worked out the right way today.
If I could add one thing to your question, Morgan, one thing about these phone calls that we get a chance to make, you know, it's an unbelievable experience. And I think you get a chance on TV to experience a little bit when they take you into like a living room and one of the players gets taken. You see the whole family there. I mean, if you can, and you get to make anywhere from 5 to 6, in our case, 11 of these calls. I'm going to tell you what, every single time it's an emotional experience. Every single time you get a lump in your throat and you get a little red rimmed around the eyes, because this is something guys have been working for and families have been dreaming of and sacrificing for a very long time. And they're on the edge of their seat and they're waiting to get drafted. And it's just, I mean, you can imagine what they're living through. And then the call gets made, and so many times, sometimes the place goes crazy right away.
Yep.
Other times, you can be talking to the player, and it's dead silence behind him, and it sounds like they're by themselves. And always will say, is anybody there with you? Yeah, my whole family's here. And you'll say, well, Ozzie told him, you can go ahead and tell him. You go ahead, and they'll get him, they'll go, it's the Ravens, I'm a Raven. And the place goes nuts, it just goes crazy. I mean, the emotion, the outpouring. And then you can't get him back on the phone for about a minute, right? And you you get emotional about the whole thing. It's just it's probably the best part of the whole job, that moment.
Can you share with us, take us inside that phone call a little bit and share with us what he said and what you'll remember about that moment?
Well, Ozzie, let's go back through it.
Well, made the call, and I think I asked him, do you recognize this number? And he said, yes, it's a Maryland number. And I told him who I was. And after that, I don't I can't put into words what happened after that. But
I remember it was quiet. You know, he was one of those
it was
quiet
really
places,
quiet.
You know, and he was talking and how honored he was. All the guys say thank you, thank you, thank you.
I think he did, and I don't want to be quoted, but I think it's a dream come true. Was a statement that was made, but I you have to ask him when he when you talk with him.
Kevin actually was there. He probably was taking notes, I'm assuming.
Well, you know, if you guys would talk about it, when you told him that he would be wide receiver and a returner, and he said, you won't regret this pick.
Yes.
And
he did say that.
And
yes.
There were people in the room, including some up there, with tears in their eyes. It was really a special moment.
Including one who owns the team.
And then Ozzie said, I think you said you can tell your family.
Yes.
And then it was bedlam.
Then we had to wait a while until he come back to the phone.
How amazing is it to think that you're talking about Keenan Reynolds, yet he broke Kenneth Dixon's touchdown record at the NCAA? How first surprised and pleased that Dixon was available at the end of the fourth round when some of the draft experts thought he might have been the second best running back in this class.
Ryan, what's our headline?
What is Ravens value touchdowns?
Touchdowns are important.
Yeah, you know, that wasn't necessarily by design. You know, obviously both guys are playmakers. But it was a cool stat, you know, to see that 175 touchdowns combined on the third day of the draft is pretty good. And I think, you know, both guys, creative, excellent in space, versatile players, both smart, you know, good, tough, competitive, durable guys and playmakers, guys who can do a lot of different things. So, you know, we've been talking a lot about playmakers throughout the process and just helping us move the ball and making important plays on offense and defense in critical situations, and those two guys can do it as good as anybody in the draft.
Eric, talk a little bit about Keenan Reynolds. When you made the phone call and you got him, you know, on the phone, was he I know he was thankful for it, but your decision to make that pick, did you think he was shunned a lot, like not going to New York and throughout the process he's gone through, and that more military people should be able to play in the NFL?
You know, that's a hard question. I think was he shunned? No, I don't think he was shunned. Underrated, probably a little bit. But, you know, he's a talented guy. You know, surprising that he wasn't at the combine, I'll say that. We saw him at the East-West, so that's an indication that, you know, people like him. And this is a highly decorated player and special kid. So we knew about him. I know other teams knew about him, too. Certainly was on the radar screen for a lot of other teams, and we're just lucky that we got him, and we got him in a good spot, and he's going to come in here and hopefully become a slot receiver and become one of the best punt returners in the NFL.
Hey, Ozzie, you opened this up by saying you feel really, really good. It's been an awesome 3 days. What is it about this class that has you kind of feeling so good right now?
Well, you know, a lot of times when you're in the draft, you get – disappointment because a guy that you think you're getting ready to get, he gets picked right before you. And so you get a little down, you know, but you pick yourself back up because you still have to pick and you just stay true to the board. But I just think that the excitement that was rolling through the room, you know, as we were making those picks, I mean, guys were feeling good about each other and the players that we were getting, that it was I won't say electric, but it was just a different atmosphere that I had been involved in.
Eric, back to that fourth round, that was about an hour, I think, something like that. In terms of the way you prep for a normal draft day like this compared to a day where you have five picks in that short amount of time, how different is that from your perspective? And how close can you stay to your lists, and how do you, I mean, in terms of adjusting on the fly, how does that go in terms of, you know, where guys fall and everything like that?
Well, I think fortunately, you know, we knew we were going to have four picks in the fourth round. We've known that, you know, since March maybe. And we've got some really good guys that help us in analytics. And, you know, they helped me in looking at the big picture, get a sense for where those picks were going to come from in terms of our sequence. And then I did a lot more research on that sort of sequence on the board as far as, like, positions and different things and who may be there, who won't be there. So going into it, I had a lot of information that I would share with Joe, share with Ozzie, and listen to the coaches and scouts talk about the players and just formulate a game plan. And I think we had a great game plan, and we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to nail those picks. And we've said it a lot. This was a critical part of our draft, the fourth round, and it became a mission, I think, for all of us to do the best we could, get the best players we could. And it fell that way today. We had a bunch of players, and we kind of had a sense for who might be there in different spots, and the players that we targeted ended up, you know, they were there, and then we'd go back down and wait on a guy, and he would be there, and we'd go back down, and we'd wait on a guy, and he'd be there, and it just came out the right way for us.
John, just to follow up, you said on the NFL Network how crazy it was. Is it almost like a game where you're almost like calling plays, and if these guys are calling out names, where it's you have to react to, you know, whoever got picked before, and maybe that guy was on your list. I mean, do you get a sense of the adrenaline being not the same, but sort of? Yeah.
No, I think you're right. I think it is very much the same. It was like being on the game, being on the sidelines in a game, and these guys were calling plays and making decisions, and it was just fun to be a part of it. I said on the NFL Network about Star Trek, you know, I mean, to me, that's what hit me. I mean, you know, I mean, we were in battle with the Klingons, and it was hot and heavy, you know, and Ozzy was like Jean-Luc Picard, you know, just sitting there in the captain's chair, kind of directed things very calmly under control. He had to go to Spock over there, right here, sitting here, and he had all the analytics down, and he was telling us, he told us two or three times exactly who was going to get picked by whatever team, and he, you know, talked us into being patient, talked me into being patient a time or two, which was just great. We had over here, you know, Scotty, I need more power. You know, I got nothing for you, Captain. You know, then he would find the power. And then we had Pat, you know, on his calculator trying to figure out the trades and everything. I felt like he was the doctor, you know. Captain, I'm a doctor, not a magician, you know. It was. So that's what I do during the draft. You know, I think about these kind of things.
Who are you? Which character?
Oh, I'm James Kirk, man. I'm in there battling it out, fighting, duking it out.
Hey, Ozzie, there was a lot of questions yesterday, perhaps maybe even criticism, that you had not picked a corner yet. How pleased are you with the two you got, and were those two guys you were eyeing throughout the process?
Well, yeah, I mean, we had stacked the corner board pretty good. And what we're starting to find out about the board, that the league is starting to value corners. And so they're starting to come off the board a lot quicker than you think. But, you know, we went to sleep on Tavon last night, you know, and saying that he was a guy, you know, that we feel like could come in and help our football team this year. And then with that, the final pick was a guy that really showed up at the Senior Bowl and that we did some additional work on. But, you know, are there some other corners that we would have liked to have had? I mean, yeah, we tried to trade up for Jalen. You know that. But the corner board was stacked pretty good, and we feel real good about Tavon and Maurice.
Ozzie, there's a report out saying that without that gas mask video, that you were prepared to draft Laremy Tunsil. Is that true?
No. I mean, you know, there's a lot of speculation. We tried to move up to get Jalen, okay, and we stacked the board.
I mean, the thing you got to remember, if I was just jumping in, I mean, there was a good chance that Ronnie Stanley was going to get taken at number two. I mean, so there's always scenarios, you know, you never know how the board's going to come off. And but I know, I can tell you this, if I'm jumping in here, I know I shouldn't be.
No, you should.
Ronnie Stanley was at the top. He was on the top row, you know, at the seven, I don't know, maybe it's 6-9 or whatever our grading scale is. But he was right at the top row with the top row of players. So you can't get any higher than that.
So you obviously ended up making all five picks in the fourth round. I know you have completed the guys you got. Did it ever come close to doing a deal anytime in the fourth round, or was the ball board falling so well that, you know?
No, we had a lot of action early on the fourth round, but we had made a decision because we had so many picks that we would only make trades for picks for next year. You know, so we set a bar for ourselves on what we would do and how far we would be going back. So that put us in a position to be able to pick or know we would be getting picks for next year.
Eric, you talked yesterday about the Red Star guys. Did you happen to get any more today? And is that, you know, is that kind of a point of emphasis to find whether they're actually Red Star guys or not, those type of players in this year's draft?
We did. You know, we did get a couple. I'm not going to name them, but we did get a couple more. And, again, it wasn't necessarily, you know, on purpose as much as I said, the board just kind of came to us this year. And the best player on the board was a Red Star. And that's awesome because you're getting the best player physically, athletically, and all that, but you're getting the best kid as well, and that's an easy fit.
Joe, Alex Lewis, where do you see him fitting in terms of his position flexibility, and how much vetting do you have to do? He obviously had a high-profile incident when he was, I guess, still in Colorado.
Right, yeah. First, you know, I think we bring him in here, and he competes, you know, for tackle and guard spots, you know. He's a versatile kid. He's played both sides of the line of scrimmage. So he's big, athletic, long, you know, tough, physical guy. In terms of the incident, we vet all these guys. And it's out there. People know about it. We've discussed it. Our scouts do a great job of not only talking to the coaches there, but following up with the staff at Colorado as well. And we felt very comfortable after discussing it with the staffs at both schools and finding out information from different reports, and then as well as talking to the kid about the incident.
I'd also just say that we brought him here to Baltimore, and we spent the whole day with him, and we were really able to spend a lot of time talking about who he is, who he wants to be, the player that he is, maturity, and all those types of things. And really, at that time, he passed all the tests.
Can you guys talk about the call to Alex?
Yeah, you know, we've had a history of drafting a player that we hadn't talked to. We thought he might get to that today. And, you know, you call a guy on a cell phone, and sometimes, you know, they can be in an area where we all been there where you just can't get a signal. But he decided to go to the grocery store. I think it was the grocery store, right? And so we were finally able to get him. And then I told him, I said, we'll just call your house. And so John took over because we were preparing for another pick. So John spent some time talking to his mother or sister, right? Yeah, and that's how we found out he was at the grocery store, you know.
Well, so I get on the phone with his mom, and I'm thinking, I go, is Alex there? And she goes, no, he's not. May I ask who's calling? And I'm like, it's John Harbaugh with the Ravens. She goes, oh, how can I help you? And I said, well, we were hoping that Alex would become a Baltimore Raven. We're thinking about drafting him. Is he there right now? No, he just stepped out and he went to the store, but he'll be back in a little while. I'm just going, like, he's at the store. What do we do now, you know? But she goes, now, who's his team again? I said it was the Ravens, and then, you know, pandemonium broke loose. They were all excited, and then he got back, yep. And we had a great conversation with him.
What would have happened if you – didn't get.
No, I had spoke to him.
Oh, so you did?
Yeah. I had spoke to him, but it kept breaking up, and I knew he was still alive. Yeah. But the connection was so bad, that's why I deferred to call the house phone. I didn't realize he was at the store.
So he made it to the store and back during the whole time that you were on the phone.
Okay. Yes.
Eric, talk about Jin, and how his skill, obviously he had his freakish numbers on the FCS level. And how do you sort of judge a player like that compared to a guy who's playing in a Power 5 conference and what he can do?
Well, that's a tough thing. We've, you know, over the years drafted a lot of small school players, and that's a challenge, the different level of competes. But I think in Matt's case, you know, we've got some excellent area scouts who go in there and go to those schools. And they loved him as a player in the fall. We looked at the tape. He went to the combine, had a great workout. In fact, I remember sitting up, Ozzie and I sit together way up high. And during Matt's workout, I remember texting Coach and saying, this kid from Grand Valley State is having a great workout. And John said, I know, we got to spend more time looking at this guy. And just when you – that's the great thing about the combine is you get a chance to see guys from all different conferences and backgrounds and levels of football competing on the same stage. And he had all the skills you look for, the athletic ability, the size, and he had the production on tape, the ability on tape. His numbers were good. Everything really looked good. So,
again, like we did with Alex Lewis, we brought Matt to Baltimore a couple of weeks ago and spent time talking to him and getting a chance to spend some really good time with him. And that was really the last box to check, and it made an easy decision for us.
Did you notice he was it said that he was an accounting and engineering major? Is that
off the top of my head, I'm not sure, but you know, it's probably true. I mean,
no, but I'm just saying when you see that with a college kid, you say that this kid can handle obviously a lot of other stuff, you know, aside from just being.
Well, he's definitely a smart, interesting kid with a great background, interesting background, and you know, his tape. I mean, you guys saw the clips. I mean, he's an explosive pass rusher, which is something that was obviously of interest to us. So big interest. And I should also say that, you know, Joe Cullen, who works with our defensive line and rush linebackers, was really, really excited. This was a guy that he thought was an outstanding prospect. And he spent a lot of time with him this spring. And we felt very, very good about his ability to come in and help us right away.
John, Steve Bisciotti was pretty vocal this offseason about pass rushers. And, you know, we don't just need one. We need more than one. How pleased was he if you talk about just, you know, one in the back and get three legitimate pass rushers?
Right, very pleased. I mean, it was something that we had targeted throughout the draft. I mean, I think a report came out that we were looking hard at pass rushers with that sixth pick, and we were. I mean, it was a big part of what we thought about doing. We also felt like we had picks, you know, throughout the draft that we had a chance to maybe capitalize on, and it ended up working out that way. So it was just a big priority for us. Steve said it. I don't think it was a secret, and we were able to fill it. It's I'm really fired up about that. I'm really excited about these guys getting to the quarterback.
And, the one you guys pretty much took someone almost every spot. The one question is middle line, inside line.
Right, right.
Was there a reason you didn't get a guy like that, or is that more of a show of faith for Arthur Brown and you know, Zach Orr and McClellan?
Well, I both, okay. I mean, we do think those guys are very good players, and they'll compete for the starting spots there. And we're talking to free agents right now. You know, that's part of the process. And, you know, but they may get drafted, so you just never know how it's going to fall. But you can't fill every need in the draft. So we'll try to fill it other ways. We have had a good history of free agent linebackers here, obviously, in the last 10 years, coming in and doing really well. So that's a possibility. But Arthur Brown is a guy who's really working hard. He's doing a great job in the offseason program. He continues to improve. And he's a high-pick guy who we like. And Zach Orr, what he's done as an undrafted free agent speaks for itself. So, again, we'll just throw the guys in there and let them compete. And I'm very confident that we'll, you know, a good player will emerge. It's a very good starter.
So yeah. You're okay with if you're not adding anybody, one of those three players, if you have to go with them as a starter, you'd be comfortable with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Those guys can get the job done.
John, what was it like to be able to take one of your brother's players, and what did you guys like about Willie Henry?
You know, Willie Henry, interesting because he wasn't expected to come out, and he kind of came out on a surprise, and we were in the process of looking at him. I think we had to go back and do a lot of work, but at the same time, it was just happened to coincide with the time that we were going to work the Michigan camp. The greatest camp in the history of football. You're familiar with that camp, right? So we went and did the camp, and it was during the workout time, so we had a chance to work out their players, and we worked out Willie Henry and all of us who were there. It really opened our eyes. It opened my eyes. I was like, this guy is a talented, explosive player. So when you get an eye on a guy in person, then you go back and you watch the tape and you can kind of put two and two together. I think it made us very interested. Probably a little bit surprised he was there at the end of the fourth round still. So. And Jim knows him. Jim vouches for him and really likes him as a person. So he helped us.
Were you able to get any inside information from Jim?
Oh, absolutely. We knew it all. We had it all.
John, you usually don't have this many draft picks coming in, and you usually don't have this many players coming off of serious injuries coming back. So are you optimistic that this could maybe translate into being a team that – you know, is extremely deep and can maybe withstand some of the inevitable injuries and things that go on during the season?
Well, yeah, I mean, Cliff, you know, I'm always optimistic. I was optimistic last year, you know, when nobody else was, and I guess I was wrong, you know. But our guys kept fighting, and obviously I'm optimistic that we can be a championship football team this year with the guys we got. You only get to keep 53 of them in the end, so it's not like you get to keep everybody. It's just going to be very competitive, and competition is good, and it makes everybody better. And, you know, the 53 best guys will be on the team, and when Ozzy makes the final cuts, we'll know who those guys are, and that'll be our team, and then we'll go compete. But I'm excited about the group of 90 that we get to, you know, kind of pick the 53 from.
Ozzy, you look at the depth, number of wide receivers you have, the number of running backs you have, the number of tight ends. Is this as much depth as you think you've had around here in a long time?
On paper. Like I said, the process starts this week, I guess, because we go into phase two.
Right.
And like John said, competition is good. But, you know, as we found out last year, you don't ever have too much depth, you know, because, you know, injuries just start to occur. So the as many good players as you can have and that you can keep, whether, you know, on the 53, on the practice squad, on PUP, whatever it is, the many good players you could have, it helps you to sustain yourself through a season.
When does a rookie camp, when's a rookie camp? Is it next week?
It's next weekend.
Next weekend.
Right.
With Joe probably not participating in the all-season program, how many quarterbacks do you think you might need?
Well, we need at least two, and we could use three. So we'll just see. We're working on that right now.
Joe, can you talk about what you like about Dixon, and were you surprised? You know, a lot of people had him ranked two or second or third best running back in the draft. Were you surprised where you were able to get him?
First about what you like about the guy. He's very versatile in the sense that he's an inside and outside runner. He's got very, really good instincts, coming inside in between the tackles, vision, picks up defenders well. He's got lateral elusiveness, runs very hard, and he runs with burst downhill. And, you see him attack the line of scrimmage. He can get outside, bounce it out, productive in the passing game, good hands. Obviously, we mentioned the 87 touchdowns throughout his career. He has a way of finishing when he gets around the goal line, just a knack for getting in, finding the little creases. So, as a player, he's a lot of fun to watch. In terms of being there, it's just the way the draft happens. You know, sometimes good players fall and they fall to you. And, you really can't, you think he's a better player than where you pick him, but you're happy to pick him where you get him.
Eric, the undrafted free agent process, has that begun or will that continue tonight once we let you get out of the room?
Well, it hasn't really started yet. The draft is still going on, but it's been actually going off primarily most of the spring because Mark Acevedo and the scouts, Andrew, Raphael, those guys have been getting organized, working with our coaches, identifying the players that we really want to target. We've done some recruiting throughout the process, which has been excellent. And I think our coaches do a great job this time of year, really getting on guys, making phone calls, texting, just communicating, expressing our interest in these guys. We're limited a little bit as to what we can do during the draft, but I think we've really, the players know how they stand with us and they know the opportunities that we have here and they know what we're about. So I think we're an attractive place to play and I would expect that we'll do very well.
Very good. Time for that annual rite of spring. Before we let you get out of the room, the post-draft baseball analogy. Some drafts you've seen triples, doubles, singles. What about this group?
Well, it's extra innings. I can tell you that. You know, because I'm very tired, and we got a lot of picks. You know, we didn't play 9 innings. We played 11 innings. So, you know, at that saying that, you know, hopefully there's no rain delays.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you all.
Thank you.